Well, good morning. My name's Tim Jones, one of the pastors here, and I get a chance to speak to you in this particular series that we're doing called My Normal Everyday Life. Just as you saw in the video, each and every day can seem like this ongoing routine, the waking up, the doing the same thing every single day, and we might find it difficult to find purpose in our predictable routines. So today I want to talk to you about a topic that I think can help us dive a little bit deeper. Before I go there, I want to say if you're a guest with us today, thanks for joining us. If you want to know more about our church and who we are, we have a guest service center right at the main entrance and some people that would love to talk to you about our church. We also have a couple great upcoming events that I'd like to talk to you about. The first one that you may know about is our women's retreat. It's coming up on September 13th through the 15th, open to all ladies. Registration is still available and open, and they have spots open for you if you want to do that. If you want to know more information, stop by guest services, or you can find out information on our mobile app or website. The other thing is this coming Wednesday is the start of our fall programming for children's and student ministries and our adult prayer group. If you'd like to know times about that, most everything kicks off, I think, about 6:15. Give or take. So just want to let you know if you have kids or students or want to come to the prayer group, that all starts this Wednesday. Also, if you didn't know, we have a ministry to moms, and so mothers of preschoolers, if you will, 0 age through kindergarten, I believe, and they're also doing registrations. And so if you're a mom and you'd like to participate in it, they meet every other Thursday in the morning. And so check out information about that. They'd love to have you join that particular ministry. Well, today, like I said, I get to talk to you in this series about finding the purpose in the predictable, and some of the content that I'm going to give you today comes from a book that was written many years ago by a pastor named John Ortberg. The book was entitled No Ordinary Day with Jesus, and so not all the content is unique to me today, but what I want to talk to you about is unique, because I believe that how God has created us is far different, that we could look around this room today and we're not all created differently. That's not a big surprise. And how God speaks to us, there might be similar ways that God speaks to all of us, but how we see that might be a little bit different. So trying to find purpose in the predictable in our everyday life, I like how the Apostle Paul wrote it to the Romans in chapter 12. This is from the Message version. He says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Basically, what the Apostle Paul is saying, he's like, take everything you do, you're sleeping, you're eating, all those things, everything that you call life, place it before God as an offering so that He can use you to be an impact for His kingdom. Put it before Him. So take your everyday life. The topic I want to talk to you about today is how do we connect with God? How do we take the next step? We're going to be talking about some hows because we all are created unique. We're created differently, right? Just like I said before. Just like the psalmist said in 139, says to God, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. So we see even in the Bible that there are instances where God is saying we are all unique. There's not any of us that's exactly like the other. Maybe we have characteristics or personality traits that are similar and we can learn about those, but all of us are unique in our own way. And because we are unique, it would stand to reason, at least for me and hopefully for you this morning, that we would then connect with God in different ways. When I was in my early 20s, early college days, I connected with God in a different way than I do today, I believe. In those days, I really connected with God during times of worship. You know, the whole kind of modern worship movement was kind of right in the heart of that, and I would seek those times out. I would go to various churches. I would spend time on campus, spending time in worshiped and involved music because I believe that's how I connected to God best. And at that time, in my college days, I met a pastor in the area that was in Oklahoma City that was well-known, was a successful pastor. In fact, my college invited him in to kind of set up a ministry leadership institute, if you will, to kind of share his wisdom with us, to teach us about ministry. And so one Sunday morning, me and some of my friends, we decided to go attend his church, right? And so we're sitting on the second pew, right behind him and his colleagues, his associates are sitting on the front row, and the worship service begins. I have high expectations, you know, think the world of this guy. And during the entire worship service, the music portion of the worship service, him and all of his associates are checked out to some degree. They're talking and chatting and making jokes, and I'm sitting right behind them, and I am frustrated. I think to myself, man, this guy, like, why would I look up to this guy? Like, in that moment, in my 20s, early college days, think I knew everything, I judged this man. You know, I lost respect for him in that moment because I thought, man, he didn't have enough respect to connect with God in this way because that was important to me, and I judged him. What I realize now, in my a little bit more mature self, is that maybe that wasn't his thing. At least in that moment. Maybe he connected to God in a different way. Could he have been a little more respectful? I think so. But that's not to say that he wasn't a mature believer in Christ. Here's what I do know that I want you to know this morning that you probably already know in your hearts and minds is that God is unchanging. How he speaks to us, he can relate to all persons regardless of age, race, gender, or even spiritual maturity. So God is unchanging. He can relate to us all. But the point I want to talk to you this morning about is that we're all uniquely created. And that if I understand how I am created, I can understand how I can connect with God the Creator. So God is unchanging, but we're all different and unique. So if I can understand how I am created, it can help me better connect to God the Creator. One of the ways that we can do this is our world is not short of personality assessments these days. In fact, over the last 20 years, I've taken a number of personality assessments to better understand the person that God created me to be. In fact, I've even taken a step further, and I've sat with close groups of friends, trusted people that I've allowed to speak into my life about what they see are the unique qualities and strengths and weaknesses. And let me tell you, that's humbling. To be able to sit with them and say, this is what I see in your life. But it was all great because it helped me understand more about who I am, and I'm still learning. I don't know that I'll ever stop learning about who I am, and hopefully you won't either, because we're all different. Some of us in this room today, you enjoy the outdoors. In fact, you being stuck indoors probably just sucks the life out of you, and you wish you could live in a place that you could just be outdoors all the time. Other people, you're indoor type of people, and that's fine with you. Some of us are unique in that we're fast-paced people. We like life to kind of come at us just like this, fast and quick, and you want it to be complex. Other of us are slow-paced people. We want to be able to manage that, you know, and kind of get our mind around it before we just fight that challenge. Some of us are aggressive people. You want to be able to conquer things, to overcome them. You want to be challenged in this way. You want to be the aggressor. Other of us are passive type of people. We're okay just kind of sitting back and reacting to the things that kind of happen around us or to us. Some of us are feeler type of people, right? You got the emotions going on. You process your entire world based upon how you feel in that moment. But other of us are thinkers. We're intellectual type of people. We need data and statistics and information in order to make sense of this world. Some of us are creative type of people. You don't want any day to be the same as the last because you want to create. It's got to be fresh in the moment. And yet other of us are structured people. Like we're totally okay with this week being by the next and so on and so forth because that's the way God has wired us. So the challenge is that we're all uniquely created by God, and therefore would stand to reason that we connect with him in different ways. But what we must do, what we should do, is avoid this assumption or maybe even comparison that just because our best friend or our family member has a strength in an area that we don't, let's say they have a prayer life that's incredible, or they study the scripture multiple hours a day, and we say, man, I'll never be like that, so therefore I must be lacking. We must avoid that because God has created us differently. So understanding how we're created can help us connect to the Creator. So today I want to share with you 7 different spiritual pathways to connect with God. What I'm not saying, and hopefully what you already know, is this, that I'm not saying that there are multiple ways to salvation, okay? The Bible is clear about that. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. So that's the only path to salvation, but what I am suggesting today is, based upon all of our uniqueness, is we can connect to God in different ways, various ways. So the first way, if you're taking notes, you can find the notes on our mobile app, or if you picked up a printed sheet today. The first spiritual pathway we can connect to God is through our intellect, through the intellectual pathway. If you are an intellectual person, you might find that you draw close to God as you learn more about Him. As you study Scripture, and as you read or study theology, which is the study of God, these things might come naturally to you. In fact, it may ignite some type of spark in you because you are an intellectual person. You've now found more information that you didn't know before. And you might even say that you have little patience for the emotional side of spirituality. If you are a person that's intellectual, you are probably defined as a thinker, and you want to be challenged in this way. And you might even say that during the music part of worship services that you may find yourself counting down the minutes until the sermon begins, just like the pastor I was telling you about earlier. And when problems arise, challenges arise in your life, you might even tend to go into problem-solving mode because that's how your mind is working. You're an intellectual type of person. Some biblical examples that represent this in the scripture is the gospel writer Luke and a man by the name of Apollos that we don't know a lot about. But here's why I picked Luke this morning, because Luke opens up his gospel in chapter 1 and he says this: many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything that you were taught. You see, when I read that, there are some key words that stand out that indicate that Luke might be an intellectual type of person. He says, I have carefully investigated everything. Right, he's taken all the eyewitness accounts. He wants to pass along to this friend Theophilus all the truths that he's learned. So he's investigated those things. He says he decided to write an accurate account, not one that felt good to him, but one that he could investigate and compile and give the information over so that Theophilus and us today can be certain of the truth that we were taught. So Luke, I think, was an intellectual type of person. He wanted the data. He wanted the information. He wanted the statistics. He wanted the concrete truth because he was an intellectual. This other person named Apollos was a Christian Jew in the first century. In fact, we don't know much. What the scripture says is that Apollos was an eloquent speaker. He knew the scriptures well, which means he studied it probably from a young child. He knew it in his intellect, and he wanted to deliver that information to others. Some other modern examples outside the Bible of Christian intellectuals could include Lee Strobel, wrote The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ. Then there's C.S. Lewis, who wrote Mere Christianity with several other works. Chuck Colson, who was the founder of Prison Fellowship, and Josh McDowell, who was a converted atheist who became an apologetic person. These were Christian intellectual people that have done a great work for the kingdom. If you are an intellectual person of faith, I would ask you to continue to connect with God on this level, that you would read Scripture, that you would understand Scripture, that you would read other books that would challenge you, that you would surround yourself by other people that can challenge your thought processes. But a major caution that I would give to you would be that you guard from being all intellect and less heart. See, I think that a mature faith is both. I think God has called us to use our mind, but he's also called us to use our heart, because Jesus came out of love for us. That was maybe an emotional decision, we could say. And so a mature faith involves both the head and the heart. And if you want to grow in different areas, intentionally engage in corporate worship times. Engage in the emotional side of things. Challenge yourself to step outside of your comfort zone. So that's the first pathway I want to talk to you about this morning. The second one is the relational spiritual pathway. If you are a relational person in faith, you might say that your spiritual growth comes most naturally when you're involved in relationships with other people. This might even be to say that you are involved in small group ministry here at our church, or you're involved in small group Bible studies outside of this church, or maybe even like just a few key relationships that you spend time with because you get the sense that this is how you're growing spiritually. You might even say that your life is an open book and you have a hard time believing how anybody else can't be the same way because that's how you're wired. And if you're a relational type of person of faith, you might even think that solitude is a great idea if you can invite a few people along with you to enjoy it with. And in key times of spiritual growth that you have faced, or key times of renewal, you might even say, based upon your experience, that this is how God has often spoken to you, is through other people, that he has confirmed things or given you direction or wisdom because you are a relational person. A biblical example of this would be the Apostle Peter. You know, we know a lot about Peter. He was the person that Jesus said, you're going to be the rock in which I build your church. He was one of the 12 disciples. But many times we see Peter, he was in groups of people. He was with the disciples, or he was within that inner group of disciples that with James and John. And so he was always around other people. Even in his secular work, he was fishing with other people. So Peter seemed to be a relational type of person of faith. Some other examples outside the Bible could include John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodism or the Methodist movement. He was also the father of what we know as small group ministry today. He believed in believers getting together and challenging and helping each other grow in relationship together. But then there's also a man named Bill McCartney, who was the founder of Promise Keepers, which isn't around anymore, but believed in getting men together to connect with one another relationally. It was a big passion for his because he was a relational person of faith. If you are a relational person of faith, you need to continue to connect with God in these ways, to be around other people in groups and classroom settings. You should also use your relational gifts to serve in the church and in the community, and also use your network of relationships to build God's kingdom. You're going to find that this is how you grow most, that you sense God's presence. A major caution that I would give to you would be guard against becoming so dependent upon those relationships that you have a hard time just being alone with God, spending that alone time in silence and dwelling on the scriptures. And so a growth area for you might be to learn to develop a capacity for silence or listening, or maybe just being by yourself, which may feel like punishment at first, but trust me, you'll get some good stuff out of it. So that's the relational pathway. The third pathway this morning I want to talk to you about is the serving pathway. If this is how you connect to God best, or that's where your passion is, you're going to find that God is very tangible to you when you're helping out other people. In fact, you're going to feel most comfortable when you're actually busy doing something for God or for the kingdom or for others rather than just being still and sitting. You're just going to find that most comfortable. And when something needs to be done, whether that's in the church or elsewhere or for family, you often don't need to be asked to jump in or to be asked to serve because you just jump right in because that's who you are. This is how God has designed you. And when you read Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus says, "For I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink, I was a stranger and you invited me into your home, I was naked and you gave me clothing, and I was sick and you cared for me, I was in prison and you visited me," you think, man, why isn't everybody else like that? Because that's like what Jesus is saying that you've done for me. If you've done for the least of my brothers, you've done for me. And so for you, serving is like, it's not optional for you. It's a thing that you do because this is how you connect with God and you live out your faith. A great biblical example of this is Martha, Mary's sister. Some of you know the story where Jesus was coming to visit and Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet while Martha was running around getting all the details and the supper ready. I believe that she was a serving type of person. This is how she was serving Jesus and connecting with her faith. Some other examples outside of the Bible include people like Mother Teresa. That's not a big shock. She spent her entire life serving the sick, the diseased, the poor of Calcutta, India. In fact, one of the things that she said of what kept her going day after day was that she saw the face of Jesus in everybody that she served. Saw Jesus' face. It kept her going day after day after day. Another person would be former President Jimmy Carter, who's a very active supporter of Habitat for Humanity, because that's how he's wired. He wants to give, he wants to serve, he wants to set an example. If you are a relational, or if you are a serving person of faith, you need to continue to connect to God in this way. You need to find places to serve. You need to serve in the church, outside of the church. And as you serve, you need to look for the ways that God is moving in and through you and the things that you're doing in order to stay motivated to do that. But a major caution that I would say to you is be careful not to find your identity in the things that you're doing. That God loves you for who you are, not for what you do for him. And that would be an easy trap to fall into. You know that God loves you for who you are. And one of the ways that you can challenge yourself to grow in a different area would be to join a small group and not do anything in the small group. Just join the small group of people and contribute or listen by just being present. The fourth pathway I want to talk to you this morning about is worship. If you have this way that you connect God with worship, you have a deep love and appreciation for what we do here on Sunday mornings. You love being in corporate praise and worship and celebration. In fact, you kind of wish that we did more of it. Maybe you're the type of person that sits there and thinks, man, I think we should do 40 minutes of this and like maybe just 10 or 15 minutes of preaching. And you might find yourself during these worship times that you feel your heart and mind come alive. You become enthusiastic because this is how you believe that you're connecting with God. And when you come across difficult times in your life, whether we're talking about difficult circumstances or decisions that you face, you often go back to times of worship in order to make your way through that because that's how you connect with God. One of the great biblical examples that I could give to you this morning would be, this would be King David. In fact, the Bible tells us one special truth about David, and it's this, that I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Now, I'm not saying to you today, if you know the scriptures, David was not a perfect person by any means. In fact, he made some very sinful choices. But what we do know is that he was quick to confess and repent of those things because he was a man after God's own heart. What we also know in the scriptures is that David, when the ark was being brought to Jerusalem, he was dancing before the ark of the Lord. It says he became undignified in the sight of all people because he didn't care what they thought because he was worshiping God. David was a man after God's own heart because this was how he connected with his God. Other examples today include people like Chris Tomlin, who has served the church for many years and wrote lots of worship songs. There's a man named Paul Balash who has done a lot of great for worship. Steve Green. There's also the worship group out of Australia called Hillsong that many of us know about. Elevation Worship, and the list can just go on and on. There are people that believe God uses them to help other people connect to God, and they do that through worship. If this is you, if you connect to God best on this way, you need to continue to participate in corporate gatherings like this, but you also need to continue to find the personal times that just you and God can spend together. You can call that prayer time or worship time, but times that you spend together with him because that's how you connect with God. And a major caution that I would throw out to you would be to be careful not to judge other people for not being as expressive as you are because that's how you're created. That's how you connect with God. But again, there are many ways that we connect to God because we're unique. And a way that you can challenge yourself being a worship person is dive into the scripture. Learn more about the scripture of what God is saying through the scripture, even though you may know it, but find a way to worship God through studying the scripture. The fifth pathway I talked to you about this morning is being an activist. Man, if you are an activist, you have a strong passion or zeal, or we could even say a strong vision to build the local church. You might even get fired up at times when you see things of injustice happening in our world because God has put that gear inside of you, and you even thrive in the face of opposition. If people come to you and say, that can't be done, you think, man, let's go do it, because you are an activist. You actually prefer in your life, your world, and it's probably no surprise to you if you're an activist, that you want things to be complex. You want them to be fast-paced. You want challenges to overcome. You always want to be on the move. A great example of this in the Bible is the Apostle Paul, right? He's attributed to writing over half of the New Testament, and he became a believer later, so he wasn't even a perfect person, even if that even exists, but he was an activist. In fact, this is what Paul wrote about himself when he was trying to defend himself to other people. He said, but whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again. I dare to boast about it too. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities and in the deserts and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. And I have worked hard and long, and during many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. You know, there's times that, you know, I want to tell my story about the challenges I go through and maybe feel bad for myself. When I read about the Apostle Paul, it kind of puts it into perspective for me. He was an activist. He had a clear passion, a clear calling, a vision for building God's kingdom, and it didn't matter what came his way, he overcame it. He was an activist. He wanted to build the church. Some other examples might include in our world today, or former, would be William and Catherine Booth. They were the founders of the Salvation Army. They had a clear vision that they wanted to start a church for the people that were poor, that couldn't feed themselves. They wanted to meet the practical needs for people before they told them about Jesus. And so they did that. They started the Salvation Army, and that is still going on today. If you are an activist, you need to continue to connect with God and find tasks and projects that challenge you. And while you're doing those things, you need to trust God to help you reach those goals. A major caution that I would throw to you this morning, have you consider, would be don't run over people and your way to accomplish the goal that you believe God's put in your heart. That would be easy for you to do. And make sure your determination is balanced with patience and personal reflection so you don't burn out. And if you want to challenge yourself in a different way than what might be your natural way to connect with God, develop that personal, private prayer life that doesn't involve any tasks. It just involves in you learning more about God in a different way. The 6th pathway I want to talk to you this morning about is the contemplative pathway. If you are a contemplative type of person, you might love uninterrupted time alone. Personal reflection for you comes natural. You don't have to work hard at it. And for you, the presence of God seems most real when all other distractions are removed. And if you are a contemplative type of person, you might have a large capacity for prayer. I want you to know, I think this is my sweet spot. As I studied for this message today, I found myself identifying more with this spiritual pathway. I don't know that I have a large capacity for prayer, but what I can say in my own experience, that God's presence feels most real to me when all the distractions are removed. So one of the challenges that I have faced as a young dad with 3 kids, like, my time, you know, undistracted time with God used to be in the morning, but once my kids pop out of bed, oh, it's all over at that point, right? they just take away. You know, they provide distractions just by being awake. And so I think that I identify most with this particular way. A great biblical example of this would be Jesus. Now, I know it might seem ironic that I put Jesus in the same category that I said that I identify, but that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is Jesus often stole away to private times for prayer. You know, when he lived on this earth, he was around people a lot. He was around his disciples. He was teaching crowds of people. But often, the scripture says, is he took away to the quiet places. And I think it was to contemplate. He probably was all of these things. He was the Son of God. But he often took away to spend time with God to contemplate. A modern day example of this is a author and teacher. Her name is Ruth Haley Barton. She's written many books on spiritual disciplines and on spiritual leadership and all the above. But she talks a lot about spending time alone with God and not saying a word. And so her writings are pretty inspiring, but she's a contemplative type of person. If you are this type of person, you need to continue to connect with God in these times. You need to continue to find undistracted, well-guarded, consistent time so that you feel connected to him. If you aren't getting those times, then it's going to start feeling like you're disconnected from him. And a major caution that I would give to us contemplative type of people is be careful not to retreat to your inner world all the time. The God has called us to be in community and relationship. We are the body of Christ. We need one another, and God needs you to participate in that as well. So don't always pull away to the inner world, but plug into those people that are around you. Spend time with other believers. So that's the contemplative pathway. The last one I want to talk to you this morning about is the creation pathway. Man, if you are a creation type of person, you just love being outdoors. It replenishes you. In fact, probably living in northern Indiana where you have to stay inside, you know, a good portion of the year probably seems like punishment to you because you respond best to God when you're outdoors. You know, you love creation, you love its beauty, you love its creativity. You have a high appreciation for those things, and you may, in fact, be a creative person yourself. A great biblical example of this would be the prophet Elijah. In the Old Testament, we read about Elijah, how he had this incredible spiritual showdown with these false prophets at Mount Carmel, and God rained fire down from heaven and obviously proved that he was in control. But then moments later, a chapter later, he's running for his life because he's afraid that he's going to be persecuted, and he finds himself in the middle of the desert, not knowing what to do. He spends a couple days there. God tells him, hey, look, keep going. Travel another 40 days. And he goes what is called the mountain of God. And the Bible tells us in this place of creation, God speaks to Elijah in a still, soft voice. See, I think Elijah, he had to get to that place that he connected to God. He had to go back to that location because that's how he connected God. He was a creation type of person. If you are this type of person, if this is how you connect with God, continue to find times that you can spend with him in creation. And during your prayer times, take time to thank God for his creation, his beauty, his creativity. But be careful to not always go away to those things, knowing that, again, we are the body of Christ. Find those times to worship with the church, the body of Christ. So these are the seven pathways that I wanted to talk to you about this morning, and I want you to look at them carefully. And maybe you probably identified with one or two as I spoke to you about this morning, but I want you to consider which ones do you identify with the most? Which would be your preferred method? And you could jot that down. But I also want you to think about what are the one or two pathways that you can grow in? Because what I'm not saying is that your way is the best way or my way is the best way. In fact, we can learn from the other ways. What we need to know this morning, or what I want you to know, is that you need to understand who you are, who you're created to be, what is your default preferred method to connect with God. But that doesn't mean we can't connect with him in different ways. And one of the ways you can learn more about yourself is by taking personality assessments. I mean, you can talk to the people around you, friends and loved ones and coworkers, and have them speak into your life. But it would be helpful for you to take some type of personality assessment. I'm going to tell you about three this morning that I have taken that are pretty well known. The first one is the MBTI. It's the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. If you were to take this type of assessment, which might cost you money, you can probably find some free versions online. I've given you a note for that. You might find whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. Maybe you already know that. Maybe you don't. You might find whether you're a feeler or a thinker. You know, are you more emotional-based or logical or intuitive? You might find whether you are a judger, things are black and white to you, or maybe there's some gray space. The MBTI would give you a great starting place to understand how God has uniquely created you. A second test you could take, and again, this can get pretty detailed. I wouldn't suggest getting lost in all this, but there's a DISC assessment out there. Tell you whether you're a dominant type of person, an influential, a steady, or compliant. And again, depending on where you fall after that testing, it gives you descriptions about what type of person you are. And then one that's getting a lot of traction or attention today is the Enneagram. It helps you understand kind of, you know, who you are and your upbringing and how you came to be the person that you are today. But again, the goal is for you to understand your uniqueness. Because you're not like everybody else. God has specifically crafted you to be you. And you need to understand who that is. And so this morning, if you feel distant from God, if your faith doesn't feel tangible, if you maybe feel like God's not even present or even real, could it be that you haven't connected to him in a way that he has created you to do so? Here's what I love about the scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What I want you to know this morning, if I haven't made it clear, is that God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow. We are unique, and we need to understand that, but there'll be nothing that can ever separate us from his love. But if we're feeling distance, maybe we haven't quite understood ourselves. Maybe we haven't understood that there are different ways that we can connect with God. And so I encourage you to dive deeper into those things so that we can understand this truth, that once I understand how I'm created, then I can better connect to God who is the creator. If you want to talk more about these things, I'd be happy to do that. I can share the stuff that I know. A lot of this stuff can be found online in terms of understanding yourself and your personality, but I encourage you to dive deep in these things so that you can better connect with God. Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, thanks for your faithfulness to us. Thanks for being a God that is unchanging, that speaks and reveals himself at different times, God. Help us to understand who we are so that we can better connect with you, so that we can be a better example, a better witness for you to reach our world and be the people that you have called and created us to be. I ask all these things in the powerful name of Christ. Amen. You are dismissed. Hope you have a good week and a good Labor Day.